We talk about changes to the buyer's journey, this idea of how customers learn about products and services, and influencers are more and more a part of that. Got a little bit of a bias. I'm theoretically one myself. How does this industry work and how can solution providers take advantage of it? So I spoke with Joe Vizzani. He's the CEO and co-founder of LunarCrush, a company that studies the space, on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Data migrations are complex and irritating, creating days of frustration from setup to cutover. MoveBot was built from the ground up to fix that. MoveBot is the simplest and fastest data moving tool there is, fully hosted with no infrastructure, no virtual machines, none of that. Sign up, connect, scan, and you'll be moving data in minutes. Techs of all levels can now move terabytes per day with MoveBot. The magic lies in how MoveBot simplifies and auto-scales your migration with modern cloud technology, handling proprietary doc types, file name sanitization, permissions, and cutover, with detailed reporting and alerting at every step. Start moving data like a pro at MoveBot.io. Joe, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
I want to talk a little bit about the buyer's journey as we think about it in B2B, because you spent a lot of time thinking about the way that's changed based on influencers. Kind of give me a sense of the state of play for the way we think about a buyer and their information sources in 2024.
Man, the landscape for buying and even social media in general, citizen journalism, there is so much that has changed with the influencer landscape that we see out there. You know, at LunarCrush, we are looking at everything across social media. We're a social media analytics company. We're pulling all this incredible data from places like X and TikTok and Reddit and YouTube, and we help people understand what these markets look like, whether that be investment firms or marketing firms, to help make better decisions for their businesses. And, you know, what we are seeing is that there are tons of these kind of smaller businesses that are kicking up that used to be just creators or just influencers doing one-off things. They have teams now. And the way that you interface with those teams is a little bit more, I would say, ad hoc than normal, right? Some of this stuff is happening in DMs. On X, you're getting, you know, a lead that comes in, and some of those are some of the best relationships that we've created are through social media. So you're seeing a big shift in the creator economy when it comes to the way that business is done.
I feel like I need to do a disclosure at this point, because at some level that is literally my business, right? I'm a podcaster with an audience who communicates up. So I feel for my listeners, hey, you ought to know, like, that's actually my business. The reason I wanted to have you on the show was not about what I do, but actually more to think about what typical technology companies need to know about the way this works. Talk me through a little bit about the way way influencers work for these technology companies that are going to consider, like, hey, we need to go to market and reach potential customers, but also our customers are learning things from influencers. Talk to me about how, like, help them understand how this economy works.
So influencers start in all sorts of different ways, and these platforms are all different in the way that they create content. You know, you have a lot of, I think, hobbyists that start, and they kind of think to themselves, you know, can I do this? Can I create some sort of audience on here? And it, you know, I think the best people have started with just an idea. Hey, I'm just going to start putting myself out there a little bit. And I'm potentially a subject matter expert on a specific topic that maybe has a broad use case, or maybe it has a niche, right? Like, you might be, you know, the most influential person on ice baths and cold plunges, right? Or you might be on just broad-based AI and you have some great opinions. And so these things start in all sorts of different ways. There's also some of these influencers start anonymously, right? There's someone that potentially is working at a business and they can't put their face and name out there the way that you or I can, but they want to get their ideas out into the world. And, you know, even in our industry in Web3, you know, there's a lot of influencers and creators that get hired and you don't know who they are, right? But you do know that they have a great reputation online. And then how do you utilize a partnership there to potentially get your brand out there with these people? And so we've created some tools at Lunar Crush that we're launching that help this kind of micro influencer economy work, where if you're a brand, you know, you're used to hiring a creator and, you know, we have a lot of budget leak, as we say, right? You're kind of like, it's the same thing as having a billboard, right? You don't necessarily know. It's more of an awareness play, where we're trying to shift that into more of a performance play, right? Where it's, I know exactly how many impressions I'm getting from this budget from every influencer that's out there. And as the transparency and the data starts to happen, we're now able to correctly get those people the right amount of money for the campaigns that they're doing. And so, you know, as you look at social media data, there's a lot of different use cases here for understanding the creator economy.
Now you hit it on what I actually wanted to get into, which is the meat of this, the metrics. Like, give us, this feels like for people that aren't initiated into it, that is, oh, it's really squishy. How do you measure this? These are just people posting, but you've spent a considerable amount of effort, like putting metrics around it. Walk me through some of the metrics that help understand the impact of creators.
Yeah. I like that term, by the way, squishy. It's, because social media has always been pretty squishy. We're trying to make it just a lot less squishy, right? There's still going to be that piece in there, but we made a lot of progress in that. So what we're doing is we're looking at things like keywords, but we're also looking at every individual creator that's out there mentioning XYZ topic, right? Like mentioning different companies, mentioning Nike, you know, mentioning Under Armour, mentioning PGA Tour, right? Or they might just mention the word pizza, right? And so we're trying to help understand the landscape of what all the interactions are. So if you're out there, specific example, and you're on X and you mention, you know, some sort of AI technology, right? And we categorize that AI technology, we're going to know exactly how many interactions you drove on that specific post, right? And so as we're collecting that in real time across all these different social networks, we're really helping to kind of frame the market when it comes to what is the potential reach of all of these different individuals? And then the reach that happens on a potential campaign might be different for every single person, right? It's always about the creative and then your audience. You might come up with some sort of epic post, an epic creative that just goes viral in just that one moment. So we want to be able to reward you for that when a brand is hiring you for their services. And so, you know, I think there's a really cool thing that happens here where creators were bridging the gap for them that they can't really monetize as well as they want to on some of these social media channels. And for brands, we're helping create a lot of transparency around, hey, I've got a, you know, $100,000 budget. I don't want to just go pick five creators and then maybe not have as much creative control over what's going on. It's more about amplifying some of the things to put out into the world, right? They have the perfectly crafted post, you know, the perfectly, you know, created production piece of creative content that they put out there. And sometimes they just need amplification of that. And so we're trying to kind of help create the transparency and bridge that gap.
Now, you look at this a lot. Help me understand the dichotomy here of viral versus consistency. Because the traditional idea in marketing is always the idea of, look, a good consistent message over time gets heard. You know, we hear all of the folklore myths of like, oh, it's 7 touch points before a customer remembers you. Those kinds of things. But the real message there is about deliver a consistent message over time so that it's heard versus a viral impact. Everyone, there's this idea of chasing a single viral impact where that's going to make the difference. But you've looked at the data. Talk me through, like, what is the right way to approach this and think about the outcome that you want?
It's a little bit of both, I would say. And you need that consistency in your messaging to stay out there. You have your current audience that you're creating content for. And so your current audience is, you know, maybe a little bit more interested in the changes around the products or the services that you've created. And so you're trying to kind of keep them updated on little things that you've changed. And then you potentially might have a larger brand launch or a redesign or something that you do where you're always hoping for some piece of virality in what you're doing there. But what you really end up seeing in that is you don't just start, for most brands, just shooting straight up, right? You don't go from, you know, if your baseline is, hey, we get 100 new customers a day, right? And then that's your kind of consistent piece. You might have a viral moment. Maybe you have a 500 customer day. You're most likely not going to see that trend continue unless you've just completely changed your product and launched something brand new that the world's never seen suddenly, right? Then maybe you're going to launch something new and you're going to see that increase. But what you tend to see, and what's nice about having a little virality that happens in what you're doing, is you might see a higher low, right? You might go from, hey, we're now, you know, we were at 100 kind of was our average a day. Maybe we're now at 120. Right. And, you know, it kind of comes back down from that 500 to that 120. And so you're just kind of trying to build on top of that. And so that's why you see, you know, people go after a celebrity endorsement or something like that. They see a bam, they see a huge spike in what they're doing. They're probably going to see a little bit of a tail off in conversion, right? Because you got people that are just kind of trying something and, you know, dusting something off and seeing if they can figure it out. But it's still, I think it's a positive thing to try for both. Obviously, you just have to stay consistent. Right, social media is all about consistency, staying relevant, staying within the algorithm, but definitely go for the virality when you can.
Now, how much is that offset by B2B? Particularly because one of the things that one of the reasons I love B2B is that you don't need to do the same amount of volume because the value of individual customers is so much higher, right? You know, we're doing, you know, relationships where we're talking thousands or hundreds, tens of thousands of dollars in terms of the sale when it's a technology conversion versus a single consumer buying a single product, which is, you know, much lower. How much balance and what data should be looking at in when you think about it from a B2B perspective?
Yeah, I think we're seeing this a little bit with OpenAI and ChatGPT. You know, it went viral from a retail standpoint, and now they're in there trying to create B2B products for businesses that have maybe a closed loop of their data. Businesses don't want their data going into this open loop and training this large set of this large data set for OpenAI to then go and resell. And so I think when it comes to social media is a great place. You know, I kind of look at Slack. This is like a good Slack example of Slack started where there were pods of people at advertising agencies or small companies that started to utilize Slack from a B2C perspective, right? They didn't have the, you know, a lot of these companies, they didn't have, you know, contracts in place with their HR department or, you know, procurement to go and use Slack, but little small teams started to use it because it was just a straight up better product, right? The communication was better, the efficiency was better. And then it started to grow into this kind of B2B business from there. So I think it's a great business model, and you love to see the retail kind of spider into an organization. And then Slack would come in and say, oh, you have 15 people working here. Let's do this large 1 year reoccurring contract. And now we have ARR as a business and put that together. So I think that's a really interesting business. And I think that's a really effective way of getting new technology into a business, is to get it loved by the people that are making decisions and maybe some of the product managers within that business. And so I think that social media game is a little bit different, where you're trying to get some attention, but then that turns into a relationship business pretty quickly. When you have large contracts, you've got someone at that business that's got to pay for it. You've got to get, you know, the contract signed, and then you got to get the bill paid, and you got to go through all that landscape. So it's just a little bit of a different game when you're talking about straight up B2B, but the awareness and the coolness of something still kind of lives on social media and lives in the B2C space.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what's AI doing to shift this? Because it feels like this would be a space that would be ripe for a little bit of impact and disruption from AI. What are you seeing?
AI, everyone in startup world is using AI in some way now, right? Like we use AI at Lunar Crush to understand what sentiment looks like. Every single post that we pull in, we're utilizing we're going on six different open source models to try and understand, you know, is this a positive post? Is this a negative post? What's being said here? Are there other keywords that relate to what's being said here? And so AI has just found its way into tons of technology, and it will continue to find its way at businesses utilizing this stuff on the back end. On the front end, you know, there's been a lot of pretty amazing examples that are starting to come out with single use AI, some of them around customer support, I would say. There was a company that I think they've already found $47 million in efficiency with their customer support, where the customer support can answer these questions in, you know, about a fifth of the time. And they're answering more questions, and they're finding that, you know, maybe there's not as many customer support people as we're going to need. And so I think you're just going to continue to see AI disrupt and some of these kind of single use businesses where, you know, you can train just a specific, like everything on law, right? And all the legal framework that's out there for one specific niche. And that's going to start to be some software that like a lot of businesses, especially smaller businesses, if the price is right, can start to utilize. And so, you know, if I was out there selling to 10,000 different SMBs out there, I would be looking for the next kind of single use AI disruptive software that's out there that is looking for channel or kind of vertical management and can, you know, have someone that can help translate that language of, hey, this really difficult AI thing is going to help solve this for your business. So that's a big piece of what's happening and where the disruption is coming from.
So I want to make this conversation a little tactical for people. Like, you know, you're a person who spends a lot of time thinking about this space, thinking about social media and influencers. Can we give like one or two really tactical piece of advice for leaders, you know, in their organizations to be thinking about as they want to measure success and be successful in leveraging this way of communicating? What guidance would you give them?
I'd say there's a huge opportunity. You know, if you're not as good at social media, or you don't think you're like a social media person and you're a CEO of a company, I would say, don't worry about that, right? Just try it and see what happens. And, you know, X is a great place for thought leadership as a CEO or as a manager of a business or a CMO to go and just put your ideas into the world and start talking about your business. And it's a much more accepted thing to be out there and, you know, maybe talk about your day a little bit, maybe have some inspirational quotes that are out there that's something that you're thinking about each morning. And then as you go along throughout your day, you're just thinking about, hey, what are some of the insights that I heard throughout my day? Who are some of the people that I talked to that I thought something was interesting? And start posting those things, start putting that out there. And I think you will be wildly surprised as to the inbound that you get from a quote founder-led movement when it comes to your business and what you're working on. Because that literally is the goal of the entire internet, right? We're able to connect with people in other niches that maybe we didn't think were out there. Those people are out there. And whatever you're into and whatever business that you're doing, those people are out there on social media and they're just waiting for great content to come out there. And so I'd say, you know, it's never going to be perfect. The first, you know, your first 100 posts or whatever content that you do is, you know, it's not going to be that good, and that's fine. Just keep plugging through and you'll get your fans.
Well, give me a little, you mentioned X a couple of times, but they're not the only player out there. And in particular, we've seen a big resurgence of LinkedIn for another kind of markets. Give me your sense of the lay of the land of the different tools and what the audiences are just from a high level so that people can match to where their relevant audience is.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think LinkedIn for sure is business and B2B oriented. You know, you're out there, you're probably not going to be posting a sunset on LinkedIn, right? You know, you're going to be really sticking to your business and what you're seeing in your business. If you're hiring, you know, you're really going to focus there on innovation, or maybe you put together a really awesome presentation at your business and you're like, hey, I think this would be a great thing to share. You know, here's how we see the world and here's how we see something that's changing. X is you know, there's a lot of really awesome stuff on X too. I think it's the ability for a business leader to kind of get in and mix it up a little bit. You know, you don't have to get overly opinionated on what's going on. You can, but it does create the ability to get more followers faster and really spread out and do more networking, I would say, and quality networking of people that are around the world that you may never have run into. Instagram is, you know, that's more e-commerce oriented, right? A lot of, you know, if you're flipping through Instagram, I'm sure, you know, you've been targeted with an ad that, you know, is probably extremely relevant to what you're looking for. You know, you're probably going to get an ad, you know, if you are going on a vacation, you're going to get ads for new beach towels or something like that. So I'd say, you know, if you're into e-commerce, you're probably all over Instagram already. And that's the nut that you're really trying to crack. Reddit is a completely different place. You know, they also just went public here. You know, there is long form on Reddit. There are, you know, people that spend their entire lives moderating some of these channels and creating kind of like niche culture. So I would say, you know, if you're someone that likes to be able to write long form content and really dive into some sort of, you know, specific, I'm sure there's AI subreddits that are out there, if that's what you're into, or, you know, hardware, like computer hardware subreddits. There's so much there to get into. I would say you're probably not going to get a bunch of inbound leads out there, but it's a great place to research, I would say. And then TikTok, I mean, we'll see. They could be banning TikTok here in the US. They just passed the bill. So that's a little bit of a tougher one, I would say, depending, you know, if you're out there trying to sell software, you know, as a B2B leader out there, TikTok might not be the place for you. But again, probably more e-commerce oriented businesses that are out there trying to have that viral moment, hiring influencers that have huge audiences, you know, to wear a watch that you're selling or a hat that you're selling, you'll have a lot of effectiveness there as well.
Joe Vizzani is the CEO and co-founder of Lunar Crush, a company that provides real-time data analytics and insights. He's got a diverse background spanning finance, technology, advertising, sales, and marketing, and he's a seasoned entrepreneur and expert on leveraging data to drive competitive advantage. Joe, how can people get in touch if they want to learn more?
You can check us out at lunarcrush.com. My Twitter handle, I still calling it Twitter, is just Joe Vez, J-O-E-V-E-Z-Z. Hit me up in the DMs. Love to hear from you.
Joe, this has been great. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Dave.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines, posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button and follow or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.